the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie. We're your hosts for today. And we're continuing the series of Who is Jesus?
And not slash, just, who does Jesus say that he is?
Not just who is he, but what did he claim from his very own lips? Let's hear it from Jesus himself. So today we're talking about a second statement that Jesus made. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Okay, that's awesome. I love that statement. We put it up on posters. We put it on bumper stickers.
We name our churches after it.
I remember driving Light of the World Catholic Church, seeing it on the side of the street where I grew up. Yeah. I mean, light of the world. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And as you guys all know, in the Gospel of John, it actually starts off talking about Jesus as light. In chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. So, long story short, he was the creator.
Yes.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
And that's pretty good news, that this light will not be overcome. Whatever this light is that Jesus is and that he offers, it won't be overcome.
Right. I was hiking one time. We were doing the sunrise hike. And so we were hiking up this hill in the dark. And then we finally got to the top of this hill. And not 3, 4, 5 minutes later, the sun starts to peek over the edge. And one of the guys standing there said, did you notice that the light didn't go to war with the darkness in order for the sun to shine? It just immediately shined. It immediately took over the darkness. And that's what this reminds me of. It's like the light of Jesus is this overwhelming reality. It's not like, hey, the darkness is equally powerful and they go to war with each other in order for the light to shine. The light just shines.
It overcomes.
Yep.
It's interesting. You can take light into darkness. But I dare you, try and take darkness and overcome a light.
Right.
How?
Yeah, you can't.
It's impossible.
Right.
You cannot. Unless you're going to break the light, destroy the light, cover the light up somehow, take the light bulb out, turn your power off. But somehow, can you take darkness and cover? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
But light can always be brought into darkness and shine brightly. And then the darkness flees. It disappears. It's nowhere to be found. And I actually think, as we dig into this, this is a timely message for what's going on in our world right now.
Ukraine,
darkness right there. And that's just what's in the news. I mean, there's things going on all over the place that we don't talk about. Like, we've mentioned it maybe last week in Somalia. There's suicide bombings in Mogadishu almost weekly.
Right now is a time of severe political unrest.
Yeah, so there's factions and war going on, and there's famines out in the farming areas. People are starving.
Yeah,
that's just one place on our planet. I mean, there is tragedy, suffering, and could I say darkness going on all over the place. And so I believe that Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world, this is a timely message for such a time and such a season.
Absolutely. And it was especially timely in the context that Jesus was walking in. That was an incredibly, horrifically dark time in world history as well.
Tell us why you say that. What was going on that made it dark?
I mean, a lot of things. There was just, in general, I think the way I would summarize it is there was a very low value on life. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a common practice, for example, to just leave your babies out and expose them to the weather so that they would die. It was a common practice to see women as just property. Just property, nothing more, no human rights at the very, very bottom of the food chain. It was common to see people dying at an early age of disease and and there was widespread hunger, and like these, like there was all kinds of horrible atrocities politically speaking. Like these were terrible, dark, devastating, deadly times.
And what good news that Jesus says this is of the world. It's for the world. He's the light of the world. That means it's for everyone.
Yeah.
There's no place off limits. There's no person off limits. There's no nation off limits. No city, no town, no village. Every single person, Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light for them.
Right.
And I think that also means there is no other ultimate light in the world.
Right.
Except for Jesus. He is the light of the world. The light. The light. Not a light. The light. And he's the only one. The Buddha is not the light for your enlightenment. It's Christ and Christ alone. And if anybody tells you, I don't remember if we mentioned this on another episode, I remember reading this article, sadly written by Gunger. I loved their music growing up. In fact, their worship band started in a church in Denver that I've attended several times. And they recently wrote an article that they agreed with this new age kind of thinking that's crept its way into Christianity, which says...
various spiritual leaders throughout.
Yeah, Buddha was the Christ.
The Muhammad, Christ. The Christ.
Muhammad was the Christ.
That's like...
Jesus was the Christ. You are the Christ. Hold up a second. And that is trash. Complete crap. False teaching. Beware. Watch out. You are not going to meet the living God with that kind of teaching. That's going to drive you further into darkness. No. Jesus and Jesus alone is the light, the Christ, the Messiah, the one coming to save us.
Absolutely.
Now, so he's the one for the world, and he's the only one that's the light of the world. But still, that begs the question, what's the fullness of this light?
Yeah. And I think one of the best ways we can define it is by defining what it's not. I think if you're anything like me, when you think about the word light in the biblical context, Genesis 1 comes to mind. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And it's important for us to know that he wasn't talking about Jesus. Jesus was already there. Jesus is eternal in both directions. He doesn't have a beginning. He won't have an end. His beginning was not at the birth when he, you know, was born from Mary. Like, he pre-existed that. He is eternal, just like God the Father. And so that is not the light that he was.
That's interesting. It also means he's not the darkness.
Yeah.
So I think if we look at the world, we can almost define what darkness is: suffering, the effects of sin and impurity, whatever sin that might be, divisions, factions, all coming from pride and self-centeredness, sexual immorality, marriages and families destroyed, the family unit destroyed, relationships hindered, relationships broken, wars, rumors of wars, I mean, starvation, suffering, sickness, darkness.
Right.
All of this could be encompassed in darkness. Demonic activity, darkness. Satan and his demons, darkness.
Yep.
You could probably come up with some ideas. Darkness.
Right.
What is encompassed in that? So whatever the light of Christ is, it pushes all of that back.
Right.
And you read it earlier, John 1. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. I think it's the very life of God.
Right.
Is the light.
Yeah. It's everything that the world isn't. It's the presence of God. It's the reality that Jesus is the one and only spiritual truth, that they're just like we were talking about earlier. It's all of these things put together, the complete absence of darkness.
And it's interesting in this passage in John chapter 8, when Jesus says he's the light of the world, he says, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So if you're in a dark situation, if you're feeling the heaviness of darkness in the world or in your life or in your heart, we know where to find the light.
Yeah.
If you walk in the light, if you walk in Christ, walk in the Spirit, seek his face, fix your eyes on him, spend time with him, get in the Word of God, get in prayer, walk in obedience, do what he said. Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit, and it says, keep in step with the Spirit. Almost like a military leader in front of you marching forward, and you're going where they go. You're stepping where they step. You're watching where they where they're going, and every action they take, you're taking. Keep in step with the Spirit. And that's the kind of life we're called to live. I think that's what it looks like to walk in the light, and you will not be in the darkness.
Right, and it's important for us to take note of the fact that in Galatians chapter 5, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. And so what does it look like to walk in step with the Spirit? Like, the fruit of that is evident. Love, yeah, and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the fruit of the Spirit recently. And one thing that's often come to mind is that I think that, yes, there's an element that we need to, like, work towards the fruit of the Spirit, that we need to, like, do something in and of ourselves in order to, like, live a life that is honoring to God and, like, displays the fruit of the Spirit.
Like, next time somebody, there's a situation that's getting you on the edge and urgency, like, hey, work on patience.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Like, right. There's an element.
Don't respond with anger really quickly.
There's an element of we have to choose it. But at the same time, I think that the fruit of the Spirit should be the natural, yeah, response of those filled with the Spirit. And so as we talk about Jesus being the light, it's like as we live with Jesus, who is the light, we also become reflectors of the light. And so that's my idea, at least.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's your idea. I think it's God's idea.
Yeah.
And I think it's like my daughter the other day. I was holding her. She's 19 months old, and I was in my parents' house, and they have a bowl of fruit, and it's inside this cabinet that has glass in the dining room. And she keeps pointing, apple, apple, apple. And I'm like, no, you don't want that apple. Apple, 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 apple. So finally, I'm like, fine. And I grab it out of the bowl and I give it to her, and she's trying to bite it and eat it. And I'm like, it's plastic. You don't want it. So she's looking at me like, what the heck? I wanted this juicy apple. And I think what you're saying is sometimes, not that our efforts are bad. The Bible's packed full of we need to put effort toward things.
Right.
We need to work toward,
yeah,
it. It's work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not that we earn our salvation, but we work from a place of grace, not
right,
for a place of grace.
Right.
And I think that if we only strive and work by our own strength and efforts, as you're saying, we'll have plastic fruit.
Yep.
You might be able to manufacture some level of patience, but internally it's not really in your heart.
Sure.
And Jesus is looking at the heart, where if you're in step with the Spirit, up close to Him, filled with the fullness of Him, meaning you're surrendered and it's His power working in you, not your own, it's going to be juicy fruit, man. Not,
yep,
not gum. Not the gum juicy fruit.
Right.
But like the dripping fruit, like a peach when you bite into it and it's just dripping everywhere and,
yep,
it's so delicious. I'm getting hungry right now. That kind of fruit is going to be flowing out of you. And when I think about the fruit of the Spirit, like you listed off, man, when I'm around people or I'm in situations or areas where there's a group that's full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, if something deep in my soul resonates, it feels right.
Sure.
Like, I feel at home. Like, I can be myself. I don't have to worry. Like, are they going to stab me in the back? Are they going to,
right,
dot, dot, dot?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels at peace. Like, oh, I can relax. I can rest. And I think that's what God wants for us in our lives and in our relationships. And
Jesus said it himself. Like, he says, I'm the light of the world in John. In,
yeah,
Matthew, he says, you're the light of the world. And
yeah, he
salt,
wants us to take his light into the world.
Right. Salt and light. And so we become carriers, we become reflectors, we become bearers of the light and the truth of Jesus as we get up close to him and as we live out the fruits of the Spirit.
I think so. It does say whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Sometimes what you're saying, it's reflected there. Don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in darkness. Try harder, try harder. But don't miss whoever follows me. It's eyes fixed,
right,
on Jesus, keeping in step with him.
You'll find it impossible to walk in light if you're just trying to manufacture it up by your own.
Then you will have the light of life. Now,
yep,
as we continue, basically, if you read this passage, you're like, what's the context? What does that mean? Sometimes when we read these statements, we're like, what on earth does that even mean? What's it about? When you read this, he doesn't tell you right away. the Pharisees start arguing with Jesus that he's a liar, basically. And he's like, no, my testimony's true. And they're like, no, it's not. And they have this little argument.
The reason that they are accusing him of being a liar is because he's saying these things about himself.
Right. They're like, you can't say this about yourself. There's no other person to testify and say, yeah, that's right.
Right.
When he says, I'm the light of the world, he's making a radical claim as well. He's claiming Old Testament promises that he's the light of salvation and the light of God to the people, the coming Messiah. I mean, these are radical claims to say, I'm the light of the world.
Right.
You're fulfilling the entire Old Testament promises of the light is coming, the Messiah is coming, the light is coming, the light of salvation. And you see that often actually in the Psalms when David writes. But as you continue, you'll be like, okay, so what's this about? He keeps having a conversation with these guys. And then in verse 30, it says, many believed in him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. And so Jesus starts to speak with those who believed in verse 31. And as he continues, we keep hearing him talk about this concept, but he says some interesting statements. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he's the light of the world. He's the truth. If you get to know him, he'll set you free. And then he says, everyone, in verse 34, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I think that Jesus being the light of the world means you don't have to be stuck in the darkness of sin any longer. Mm. He sets you free from the power of sin and death and brings you into the fullness of his light and his life. And that's the fullness of his truth. That's the fullness of who he is, the fullness of freedom. The enemy, the darkness, would like to keep you bound and in darkness and in sin as a slave. He wants you to be a son.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if there's much more to say than that, but yeah, Jesus is the light of the world. It's true.
And I would just end on carry that light into the world. I think there's a lot to be said, but there's this quote that was fascinating to me that I came across recently to wrap this up back with the beginning of what's going on in the world, specifically Ukraine. There's a president, a Ukrainian president of a seminary inside Ukraine, and what he said is fascinating. He said, the church will go underground. We had that under the Soviet Union. The church did not forget what it means to be persecuted. We will rearrange, reorganize, and do what we always do. Preach the gospel. Mm. I.e., we're going to bring light into the world, light in the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, and we're going to be about him. We're going to fix our eyes on him. We're going to point to the light, and we're going to reflect his light. And I pray that that's what we do. We all have not received light for ourselves only, but to reflect that and carry it into the fullness of darkness all around us.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. Don't forget to unsubscribe and resubscribe. We really appreciate it. Like and share if you feel like this content is helpful. And yeah, we're praising the Lord, thankful for you guys, and hope you guys have a great rest of your day. God bless.